Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 2, we were taught that Jesus had to suffer the agony of Gethsemane in order to relate to man and to understand the heart of man. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
We are not saved by the sinlessness or perfection of Christ. Rather, we are saved by the shed blood and resurrection. It was his sinlessness and perfection of his humanity that was necessary for him to be an acceptable sacrifice. But the actual saving of us is the shed blood and resurrection. His sinlessness showed how sinful we are. His perfection shows our imperfections. His suffering shows his being made perfect in his humanity ministerially, as we read in Philippians 2:8. He, being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Not one thing of his holiness and righteousness was sacrificed ever, even for a cruel, rugged cross. He had to enter the human life as a great high priest for us in heaven. Hebrews 4:14-16 says it this way, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You see, he became one of us so he could be a sympathizing Savior, an intercessor. How else could he enter without suffering? His sufferings are the foundations of which his present ministry rests. His ministry of not only saving, but of intercession. He must go by the way of Gethsemane and Golgotha, the fullness of suffering, so he can understand our heart when he intercedes at the great throne in heaven. If he'll be perfect man in his humanity, he must be obedient to the will of the Father, and true obedience must be tested by suffering, if he is to be the captain of our faith. That's why Hebrews 5:8-9 says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him." With Jesus being the perfection of sanctification, he continues that work with us in verse 11, where it says, "For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now, the word sanctifieth is a present participle in Greek, which speaks of a continuing work. The Holy Spirit of God continually works in the Christian, in the inner man, as we follow the Savior and as we meditate in his word. And he uses that to continually sanctify us in heart and mind. Now, when you get away from the word of God and obedience and subjection to it, then you get away from the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. He that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one. My friend, that's shouting ground. One with God? One with His Spirit? He does not have to be ashamed of us when we allow the Spirit of God to do the sanctifying work that He does through the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ's sanctifying work on the cross is so perfect that God sees us in Him. And as far as our state is concerned, there's much of which we ourselves need to be ashamed. But as far as our standing is concerned, it is perfect. His work is so perfect that He can bring us into the presence of the angels and the Father Himself and say, "These are My brethren." Do we not see a beautiful illustration of this when Joseph's brethren acted scandalously toward him? They hated, scorned, opposed, and finally sold him into Egypt, and they came close to killing him. Yet afterward, when they were repentant, although they had done these terrible, bad things to Joseph, Joseph was not ashamed to call them brethren. Although every shepherd was an abomination to the Egyptians, and these brothers that had tried to kill him and had sold him into slavery, He took them into the very presence of Pharaoh and presented them before His throne, and they were accepted by Him. And what my sin does to God, but through the blood He saves me, cleanses me, and He's going to take me into the presence of the Father. What a blessed God I have. What a blessed Savior Jesus Christ is to us, to each of us, my friend. He's a wonderful Savior to me. We who are worse will be accepted in the Beloved. And the acceptance is even more amazing than that which happened with Joseph's brethren. Don't forget, sanctification is the process by which the Holy Spirit dwelling within us makes us holy in our personal living. It is why Hebrews chapter 12, 5 through 8 is a reality if someone is truly saved. There we read, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, and are ye bastards and not sons." Well, that's pretty clear language, is it not? God chastens His own. He spanks, and then He also scourges. You know the word scourgeth means to flog with a whip. Now, I know modern psychology hates that, but God says it's His thing of love to keep people from the eternal consequences of what sin can do in their life, to make it so His children do not lose their reward. Now, another gem we derive from this verse is that Jesus never used the term brethren when speaking to unbelievers. Isn't that great? He's not ashamed to call us brethren. He truly loves the sinner, and He loved them so much that He died for them. He died for us sinners, my friend. But until one is saved through the shed blood of Christ, he's not referred to as brethren by Christ. That takes us into verse 12, where He says, "Saying, I will declare thy name to my brethren in the midst of the church, will I sing praise unto thee." Well, that is a quote of Psalm chapter 22 and verse 22. Think of how that psalm starts in Psalm 22 with a prophecy of the cross 1,000 years before the cross actually happened. This is telling us that Jesus is declaring the name of the Father unto us. In John 1:18, do we not read, "No man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Jesus Christ reveals the very heart of God to us. That's what's meant by declaring his name. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the expressed image of his person. But in using the term brethren, he is now identifying with us. Think of that. The Almighty God and Creator of the universe, he became poor to ransom my soul, that he may identify with me, not as master, servant, as with angels, rather as brethren. In declaring his person and character, the Lord Jesus is ever, by his Holy Spirit, directing us to 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow in Christ Jesus, my friend. And we go to verse 13 here of Hebrews 2. "And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given to me." Oh, what a blessed verse again this is. By putting trust in him, we find clear reference to the fact that Jesus Christ would take on a mortal body, and in that body of humiliation would walk on this earth with his dependence and trust in the Father. While subject to totally to human limitations, his humanity was subjected unto the Father. What an example. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 25, we read, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his step, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your soul." You know, he could have used his power in holiness to destroy, but instead, he used his power to endure. And he showed us how to bear fruit with patience while doing so. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks,
saying, May God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.